Core Sound's pad loops help worship leaders instantly and easily fill their worship sound, create seamless transitions, kill dead space, and free themselves to focus on worship. Go to Core, C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com to learn more, try free samples, and get going with pads today. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your next purchase.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. And I don't know if I can handle this anymore. It's daylight savings time.
I hate it.
I used to live in Phoenix. Why do I have to live in Joplin, Missouri? I can't take it anymore. Oh. Is it spring forward or fall forward? I can't tell.
You're supposed to spring forward, but it basically is just robbery.
I'm losing my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes me weeks to recover.
The government has stole one more thing from us. They stole an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't take it out of the middle of the day. They took it out of the middle of the night where it hurts us the most.
But they give it back to us in the fall.
Yeah, but they don't really. It's just a cycle of depriving us of rest.
It's a fabricated construct.
Yeah. Yeah. It's part
to help the farmers.
Why is it that they don't do it in the evening or the middle of the day? Why is it that they don't do it in the middle of the day and everybody just gets to go home early?
There
why
you
do
go.
They do it
what?
In the middle
what?
Of the
what?
Night
drop
when you're
the
sleeping?
Daylight savings at noon. I'm
yeah.
all down for it.
Why not spring forward at lunchtime?
Yeah, we'll see how popular it gets then.
Let's do spring forward at noon and fall back at midnight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Why don't we
the
do
worst
that?
Is when you have kids. When you have little kids, mm-hmm. fall back's a little awkward, but when you spring forward and they lose sleep, well, it's a horror movie.
All you got to do is just feed them a little melatonin an hour before bedtime.
Okay, well, I made it a policy not to medicate my kids unless it was for travel.
It's all natural. It's all natural.
It's a little sleepy time tea in your sippy cup.
Well, maybe it's a government conspiracy. You know, it's the zombie apocalypse. I can see a big notebook.
I think it is.
Chapter one, yeah. Daylight savings time. Steal an hour of their sleep.
If you keep the public in a state of sleep-depraved zombiness, they can vote and do whatever they want as a government because everyone is so sleep-deprived, they're not paying attention.
You know that sleep deprivation can kill you.
Yeah.
It is a real thing.
It is.
And you're making me really sleepy.
Somewhere hot and fiery.
Well, we got a busy week. And so I'm glad that we've lost an hour of sleep. How are we going to get everything done?
Oh, no, bro.
Well, I'm taking a nap.
And then 24 hours this weekend of the Unite Worship Gathering.
Oh, who arranged this schedule?
Yeah, why did we put that on the bookending the week of Daylight Savings?
I'm just going to stay up all week. I'm not going to sleep.
Somebody who's in charge of the schedule needs to get a reprimand.
Oh.
You're fired.
I'm going to fire myself because I'm the one that did it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this week is huge.
Huge!
Because we have a sound design workshop that we're going to be doing Thursday evening, Impact Life Church, 7 o'clock. We have signups at nextgenworship.com. If you want to be a part of this, you can learn some sound design skills and also help out with running sound at Unite Worship Gatherings from here on out. Yeah. Sign up for an hour or two slot.
If you're near the Southwest Missouri area, Joplin, Missouri, I would encourage you to come if you're at all involved in honing your craft in sound and audio, because we're going to be passing out some pro tips, the right way to do things, and the right way to make it sound awesome. We want the world to look at us and go, man, how do they do that? We want to be so good at what we do.
So you're welcome to show up at Impact Life Church, 7 o'clock Thursday evening, this coming Thursday, March 16th, or go register. We'd appreciate it so we know how many we're accommodating. So go register at nextgenworship.com. And don't forget, Unite Worship Gatherings this weekend, Friday and Saturday from 7 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Impact Life Church. It's going to be huge.
If you come, I'll make you a cookie.
Wow. You're making cookies this time? Last time we had humongous cinnamon rolls. This time we're having cookies. And Haley's cookies are like professional cookies.
They are. Put those things in a baggie and sell them for a dollar.
I'd buy that for a dollar. Today we're talking with the Brentros once again, part two of our Crafting a Legacy. The Brentros are with Life of the Family in Nashville, Tennessee, and they were a blessing to us last week. Again, this week, as we discuss that topic when we come back. Identity Music is the music publishing arm of Next Gen Worship. We are a family of creatives who love the presence of God, who desire to see the kingdom advance through creativity and music. We are sound artists. Recorded sound has the power to convey emotion, tell stories, and bring the listener into an experience where time stops for a journey of the heart. We are currently completing our state-of-the-art custom audio recording studio, utilizing industry-standard tools at the core of our creative process. We are asking you to partner with us. We have currently connected with a donor that promises to match dollar for dollar all donations made to complete our studio. That means if you contribute $100, it's like giving $200. There are just a few loose ends to tie up before we can start shaping sounds that change history. Help us. Donate today and have it matched at nextgenworship.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're going to be visiting with some of our favorite people, the Harrimans. Mm-hmm. They are missionaries in Mexico, Central and South America. Mm-hmm. And they're just taking the gospel into places that have never heard it before, which is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And they were in town on a short sabbatical just last month, and we got to sit down with them and do a couple of interviews. So we're going to be doing that next week and the week after as we talk to them about the journey of world changers.
Yeah.
So this week we are continuing our conversation with the Brentros from Life of the Family in Nashville, Tennessee about crafting a legacy. We talked to them last week and again this week, part two of that topic.
Mm-hmm. So much of what we do, especially in America, is centered around this idea. But we center around, you know, mostly material things. So, you know, you see people working to provide for the family, to save the nest egg, to, you know, even, you know, some people are looking ahead and like, you know, if I can create wealth for my children and my children's children, you know, inheritance and things like that. And that's great, man, let's do that. But what if we could do that spiritually as well? I'm so jealous of people that say I'm fifth generation, you know, pastor or eighth generation in the ministry, you know, these people that have a rich heritage that started, you know, 100 or 200 years ago, and that lineage of the kingdom keeps reproducing itself each generation. So as everything that we do at Nation Worship, it's so much about tweaking our mindset, renewing our mind to shake us back into reality and go, what are we really doing here? What are the goals that we're really going after? Because life in earth can just cover that up so quick. So today, crafting a legacy, being intentional about changing the destiny of the generations of our family.
Yeah, I like the idea of living intentionally. I think a lot of people spend most of their lives living accidentally.
Yep.
They just live reacting to whatever comes their way. They raise their kids by accident, just reacting to what life sends them. And instead of looking at their marriage, their family, their community that they're surrounded with, and being very intentional about what they pursue, how they pursue it, and what they're building.
It's such a complicated way to live whenever you live accidentally.
Yes.
You know, it really complicates matters. If we could just get back to a simpler mindset, if we could like pull back and look at the big picture and see that our identity is in the eternal one,
yeah,
who was before and who is now and who will always be, and to convey that to those that we nurture, not just our children, but those that are in our sphere of influence, to understand that we are all carrying the spirit of the eternal one he has a mission to accomplish here, and we're a part of that, then it really simplifies things. Mm-hmm. And I think it really focuses our attention.
I don't know why this is, but I feel like a lot of people that claim to be a follower of Jesus, it feels like life is happening to them. You know, life just happens to them, and they end up somewhere instead of plotting a course and creating their own future in the kingdom. So like they just arrive in life. All of a sudden they realize I'm 50 and I've done nothing with my life. And this is not where I wanted to be. You know, this is not where I wanted to end up. And you see so many people, like especially marriages, like they go through the kid years and the mom and the dad, they're so focused on meeting the needs of the kids that when the kids get to be teenagers, there's a divorce.
Right.
You know, yeah, because they don't know each other anymore.
Yeah, they weren't creating destiny and a lineage in the kingdom. So instead of letting life happen to us, man, we are creators of life.
That's right.
We are the ones that are shaping the future of the world, and it's got to start with us.
Yeah.
Our own families.
Do you remember that old saying when I was in high school, life happens and then you die?
I remember that, yeah.
And that is so sad, but that is really what people do. Life just happens to them and then they're gone.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, that's something that I tell my kids all the time. Don't let life happen to you. You happen to life.
Yeah. That's right. Intentional. I like that.
I mentioned in the last show that we are prophesying to the generations to come. And, you know, they're going to look back at us and take a cue. And if we don't leave anything to look back on, they're going to have to start from ground zero again. That's why we're so passionate about, you know, creating the ceiling that's going to be the next generation's floor. And if we can give a high value for creating destiny and taking care of each other's destiny, there's a new thought, hello, taking care of each other's destiny and community, that value will start to produce rich kingdom wealth, and it will start to produce acts of the kingdom, acts of Holy Spirit in our midst.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about, you know, how do you live intentionally? And one of the things that just occurred to me was that it requires you to have presets in your mind and in your thought process, preset standards of this is how our marriage operates. This is the standard we live at. Emotional connection and love. Presets about how we parent our children. This is how we operate, the standard of our family. And then that makes it a lot easier when things do come at you to automatically know what your response is instead of having a knee-jerk reaction and just, you know, going from there.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about that a second. I mean, it's so practical and good. Let's list some presets here that's going to equip us and set us on the right path for, you know, touching the destiny of the people that are to come after us.
I think one of the biggest ones is whenever we're faced with an issue, no matter what it is, whether it's sickness or a decision that needs to be made or anything, first thing we do is pray.
Yeah.
First, that's the first order of business in any situation is we take it to the Father and we say, hey, here's the situation, Lord. We know that you are a good God. We know that you are benevolent and we have your favor and we are your sons and daughters. And we declare healing in this situation. We declare a direction in this situation because, I mean, we really live by that trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him. Yeah. And he will direct your paths.
Yeah.
And it's just that acknowledging our Father is in control in every situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Another one as far as like parenting would be for me is heart connection. Like the most important thing between me and my children is, do we have a heart connection? And everything else kind of needs to take a back seat. And as a homeschool mom, you know, it's easy to get into, we're doing our education. We want to strive to meet a certain standard. But really, even their education has to take a back seat to, are they connected at a heart level with their parents? Because that's how you get through rocky things. That's how you get through, you know, the tumultuous times in life is because you're connected on a heart level.
Mm-hmm. And we can't dismiss the value of stewarding atmospheres for encounter, which we talk about all the time. But in the family situation where we're, you know, our goal is to create a legacy for kingdom, man, we've got to let our kids experience kingdom. We've got to let them experience Holy Spirit. That means we've got to be the ones that set them up in this encounter after encounter after encounter. I love the stories that Mark Hendrickson, our friend, tells about raising his kids. You know, when there was something that God was doing, we would just pick up and go to it. and check it out. Let our kids encounter it. Wow. And, all these kids are world changers now. They are very influential and moving in very influential circles that are shaping history in the world. And I think we don't think about that a lot because church hasn't always said that there's a great value for encounter. But as we know, anywhere we open the Bible, man, we're going to read about somebody having an encounter and their response changing the world around them.
And I think the focus is coming back to that. I mean, we're experiencing that, of course. We're seeing traditional churches whose bylaws contradict really engaging Holy Spirit in a dynamic way. And they're just throwing them on the floor and going after him because they're finding value in encountering his presence. They're finding value in encountering him on a very personal and intimate level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I liked what you said a minute ago about no matter what happens, our first thing is to pray. And I remember Bill Johnson talking about a time when someone in his family was very ill. And he said, I know what the doctors say and I know what these people say, but none of that matters. What I want to know is, Father God, what do you say about this situation?
Good. So good.
And once I've heard that, then I know this is what we're doing. That's what we're going to go for.
So good.
And then that removes that, because stuff comes at you and you feel like you're blown around almost. And that kind of removes the power of those things to blow you around.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I love that because a lot of times we see people pull the Bible out and see what the Bible says, which is great. We have to do that. We have to understand that God isn't bringing us calamity to teach us a lesson.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, this is earth. This is a world that has experienced fall and there is calamity at work and we are here to put that calamity in order. And so if we understand that, we can go, okay, this is a natural part of life around the earth. We got to cut these weeds back. But then if we can also say, God, now that this has happened, what do you have to say about it? And then hearing that word, faith comes by hearing the word, the rhema, the spoken breath. Man, when he talks to our hearts, there's nobody that can talk us out of that.
That's right.
There's nobody that can say, nah, I don't get that. You know that you know that you know that you know, and that's a foundation for faith. That's a foundation for moving forward.
So all these principles, you know, practically put into place kind of keep us in boundary of pursuing a life-changing life and incorporate our families, incorporate those that we influence. And in doing that, it's not like we're striving to build a legacy, but we're just practically doing what God's called us to do, and that leaves legacy every single time.
Legacy is a fruit of all these things.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
So we'll dive into that a little bit more here in just a moment. Next week, we're going to be talking with the Harrimans, missionaries to Mexico, Central and South America, about the journey of world changers. And it's a powerful thing. They've got stories to tell that will just ignite your faith and build inspiration inside of you. Crafting a Legacy Part 2 with the Brentros from Life of the Family coming up next.
So I've been using pads in worship for like 4 or 5 years. And I remember when they first came out, very popular, like it's a new thing. There's only like one pad set available. So I downloaded them and it's like, wow, this is great. And just by default, I just use those forever. You know, it's like, you know, people come out with different pads and like, hey, this is great. Well, I've already got some. Why do I need new ones? Until we heard about Core Sound pads. And then I checked them out and found out they had all these different varieties. And so I tried them out at the last 24-hour worship gathering that we had in our city. And I was actually going through and finding the actual set of pads that sounded best with the type of music I was doing, the songs I was doing. And that was so awesome because it wasn't, you know, me making do with an ambient pad set in the background that may or may not quite match. And every now and then it sounds like it's off, you know. But when we used the Core Sound pads, man, I was able to kind of tailor the sound I wanted for the set I was doing, which was way beyond anything that I was used to before.
Go to CoreSoundPads.com. That's C-O-R-E, CoreSoundPads.com. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your bundle today. What would it look like if a whole city responded in unison to the Lord? What would it look like for a city to love God together? Our worship shifts atmospheres and makes it easier for prisoners to be set free. It's time to unite. Started in February 2015 by worship leaders in our area,
Unite Worship Gatherings are regional worship events devoted to an extended period of vertical worship and building community. There is no agenda, no preaching. Our focus is fully on His presence. Regional worship leaders worshiping in the round. Everyone is encouraged to join in as we host the presence of God in a greater way for our region. God's heart is burning for our city. We invite you, our family, to unite the body of Christ. Unite Worship Gatherings are hosted by a different church every month, and we would love for you to be a part. We are in need of technical support and on-site prayer partners. If you have a desire to join forces with like hearts, we invite you to attend our training workshop, March 16th, hosted at Impact Life Church. We will be focusing this workshop on sound design for Unite Worship Gatherings. Find out more at uniteworshipgatherings.com.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we'll be visiting with the Harrimans. They are missionaries to Latin America and have some really great stories to tell about the journey of world changers. Today, we're continuing the conversation with the Brintros about crafting a legacy.
All right, welcome back, Steve and Melissa Brintro. I had such a fantastic conversation last week. I want to talk this week about family. Before we do that, though, tell us real quick who you are and what you guys are doing.
We are Steve and Melissa Brintro. We live in Nashville. We've lived here for about a year and a half. We are transplants from Kansas City, and we're loving it. It's a lot warmer here, which is awesome, and we're only 5 hours from palm trees.
Yeah.
We've been married for 16 years, and we have a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old, a girl and a boy. So we've just started writing down our stories, misadventures and adventures in parenting, and mostly our joy, because we take so much joy and pride in being a family, and that is our number one priority, that we serve the Lord together, the four of us. We do life together. We go on all these vacations, and people always say, like, do you bring your kids? And I think, of course, we're doing life together. Of course we bring them. So they come on every adventure with us.
Well, let's dive into this topic here. Let's talk about crafting a legacy in family, because it's so important. It's so important that we think long term. So help us understand this topic.
Last week, we were talking a little bit about short term versus long term visions. And when you have a short term vision and goal, you're usually just looking at the things immediately around you. You end up reacting to what's causing you the most discomfort. And especially when you're really, really busy and you're swamped at work, you come home, you got to take the kids to soccer practice or whatever. And then you're so stressed out that you just look at the problems that are in front of you and try to solve those. But then beyond that, you're not really thinking long term, not even how can I get someplace, but where do I want to go?
Right.
What do I want to become? What do I want my family to become? And I think that's the bigger question. If you can consider what you actually want to craft with your life.
There was a time in my life particularly where we were so busy. I had this beautiful family and wasn't reaping all the joy that could come out of that. And busyness is a trap that we don't realize the enemy is setting for us, especially as Christian parents. And busyness cuts into the design that God has for your family and the gift that He's given you. It's such a gift. He gave it to you out of love because He wants you to have the best. And it's like you're tripping over it instead of opening it. And that's where I found myself for a while in our life. And my health forced me to slow down, but I don't regret that at all, because God used it as a chance to show me this beautiful, amazing family. And it helped me do a 180 and really embrace every moment with them. I feel so much better now. And a lot of our blogs are just birthed out of that joy. I don't know if anybody reads them, but man, we're having so much fun together. It's like a journal where I'm just writing down the joy that we're getting. And that's really attractive. We get a lot of attention.
Yeah. And, you know, we just got back from a 2-week vacation with my parents. And it was so much fun, because at a couple points, I would just sit back. I watch my parents, watch my kids, and I'm just overcome with joy. That doesn't happen You know, that doesn't just happen. For years in our family, it was so much that we were working on the problems in front of us. We never had time just to sit back and enjoy and say, wow, it's not all perfect, but wow, look at this. This is, we're actually becoming something. We're going someplace. We're doing something together.
Yeah.
You know?
And we still have problems that arise, but now we both feel the joy of the Lord about the process. He is not tripped up by our imperfection. He is walking with us through the process of parenting these little guys and building a legacy together. And He is fully invested in that. And that scripture, the joy of the Lord is my strength, I tend to hear that different now. The joy of the Lord, His joy about the whole thing is giving me strength, and it's giving me laughter in the hard times because I'm feeling it coursing through me. Like I feel His eyes on me, and it's not a scowl. And I feel His eyes on our marriage and what we're building, and He's not frustrated. He's not frustrated. He's jumping with joy, excited, partnering with us, and it's making Him so happy. And I feel that, and it surges through our marriage and through our kids. And we're just overcome by it.
Yeah, and I think it's amazing. For the longest time, I always looked at my life and my family and my marriage and kept thinking, I'm not there yet. I'd look at other people that I wanted to be like or, you know, that I emulate, and I'd say, I'm not there yet. Not realizing God isn't even concerned about the destination. He really isn't. He's concerned about the journey. And one of the revelations that I had recently is, you know, we talk about being transformed from glory to glory. That doesn't stop when we get to heaven. That's something that keeps going and keeps going, and we keep changing and we keep growing in Him, and He keeps making it better and He reveals more stuff. And again, you know, a good friend of ours, Dustin Smith, always says about the, you know, the angels around the throne saying, holy,
that's right,
holy, holy. Every time that they bow down and they come back up and they're saying holy, it's not because they're singing the chorus 20,000 times, you know. It's they're looking, and every time their eyes come up and they look on Him, they see something new and they say holy, holy, holy. And that's part of the journey. That's part of who we're becoming, and God enjoys it, and we're supposed to enjoy it. It's not supposed to be like,
right,
oh my gosh, I'm still not there yet. I'm so frustrated that I'm not there yet. He's like, but you're going someplace. You're running, you're moving, you're growing.
He did not create you to be miserable. He created you to walk in joy and to not do it alone. He put family around you for your comfort, for your joy, for your safety, your protection. As a blessing, He is not frustrated with you. He is partnering with you, and you're the luckiest people in the world if the Lord is your God.
What are some ways that you guys steward that kind of atmosphere intentionally in your home? You're talking about this beautiful thing, and it did not happen by accident. It wasn't just they accidentally fell into this glorious family. You built it on purpose.
Right. That's a good question. One thing that we do every morning, or most mornings when we're starting school together, because we homeschool, is we start with the Bible. I'll read just one, maybe two chapters, and talk to him about what God is saying to me about that. And He just reaches through me to parent them. And the things that come out of my mouth, I cannot take credit for. I'm like, whoa, the Holy Spirit just like did that. And then another thing is the house rules that we wrote. I had a time on the internet just searching for house rules, and everything I came up with was stupid, like don't hit. One was don't start fires in the kitchen. You're like, help me, God.
Steve.
Sorry.
And I sat down at my computer, and it was the Lord, because my hands just flew across the keys writing things like, we know family equals treasure. We know lies damage relationships. We know our parents want to bless us, and we look for ways to bless others. Just things like that. And that's our standard. And we reinforce it. If the kids start to stray, or we all hold ourselves to that standard, we come back and read them out loud together. That's a first line of punishment, is let's read these together and declare them together over us. We know family equals treasure.
Yeah. And one of the other things that we started doing is we don't focus on behavior, we focus on attitudes.
Yes.
Oh, very
and,
good.
You know, kids are kids, and they're going to do stuff that's going to annoy the heck out of adults. That's just life. you know, even in us, sometimes we're like, oh, I want him to stop that so bad. But then you have to stop and think, really, is this just me, or is this something that I want to correct attitude-wise? So we go after attitudes. So if the kids, if our two kids, our 12-year-old daughter and our 8-year-old son, are at each other's throats and nitpicking and arguing, we go after it. We don't let that stuff stand. But if they're just being silly and goofy and whatever, we'll let it go. You know, it's not something that needs to be corrected. And that's brought so much joy to us too, because we can relax a bit, you know? If you're trying to parent a kid both for behavior and for attitude, every waking moment, you're not going to do anything else. Right. That's like a full-time job.
Yeah.
And Adrienne can be very hard on herself. Just that's just her natural tendency. And so that parenting strategy works so well for her that she never internalizes like a condemnation or anything. She's understanding that we love and treasure and value her, and it's not her, it's the attitude. And Addison can also be hard on himself, and he's quick to feel that guilt and repentance and remorse. His heart's super close to his sleeve, and that works for him. It's a gentler approach instead of crushing him, because he loves to play. I swear, the reason the Lord put Addison in my life is to help me to laugh and lighten up more. Because when I was a kid, people would always say to me, lighten up, relax. I got a word from God twice. You just need to relax.
Wow.
And Addison is God's gift to me to invite me to play and laugh and goof off with him. If I wasn't parenting attitudes, a lot of times I would be squelching his joy and his nature. And that nature is what God gave me through him.
Wow. So let's wrap up our conversation, as hard as it is at this point, because this is so good. Let's talk about real quick just the God-sized dreams in your hearts.
God has put this like volcano of passion inside of me for family and marriages. And I really expect that if I looked at myself 20 years from now, not only would I still be parenting my flock of kids and, oh dear God, grandkids and all of that, and their spouses, hopefully, and that I would still be involved in that and establishing that firm and being the backbone through the Holy Spirit to that, but also reaching into the lives of other younger families and helping them create something that's beautiful. Because we've had those couples in our life that I wouldn't be the mom I am today if God hadn't given me my friend Carol and other moms that I look to.
It's kind of interesting, because my passion right now is business. I actually worked for a Fortune 500 company for 8 or 9 years, and then got laid off and started my own business. And I worked for several years on other people's businesses. And it's good because I helped them succeed. But at the same time, I was neglecting things that God was putting in my heart of, hey, you know what? You could build a business like this. And I'm seeing the pieces start to come together now, where I'm building businesses, not for other people, I'm building them for my family. And here's why, and this goes to a legacy. The businesses that I'm building, I want to have residual income that can go virtually untouched. And what that's going to do is it's going to empower me to be able to be with my family more, to invest in this more and become a better picture. But then beyond that, when I'm old and gray, and my kids are grown up, I can hand them a gift that will sustain them and be with their families and grow their families and create an even longer legacy, because they'll have seen the example in our family of what it looks like to have a strong, healthy, joyful family that's full of life.
Wow, mic drop.
Oh my gosh. I'm his wife and I'm even like,
well, man, you guys are heroes and champions. We have so enjoyed seeing the process, but also having you involved in our lives. There's been many times when you sat across the table from us and saved our own life. So we just really enjoyed the journey and taking that journey with you to an extent. And we love you And we say yes to all the things in your hearts.
Thanks for having us. And thanks for coming to Nashville.
And thanks for loaning me Haley.
Yeah, lifeofthefamily.com. Check it out.
So good to have Steve and Melissa on the program with us. Check them out once again on their website, lifeofthefamily.com. Check out their blogs, see what they're writing about, and the journey that they're having next week, missionaries to Latin America. We look forward to exploring the Father's heart and finding out what he wants for our generation and the generations to come. Join us then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.